It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, tonight alongside Nick Gelso, Jared Scaly, behind the glass here on opening night. And, of course, opening night is brought to you by our good friends at Indochino. We've got our good friends at Movement Watches. It's a good night tonight. We're going to hear all about the Celtics, how they sort of squeaked out a win tonight, 122-117. A game, Nick, that shouldn't have been this close. There are certainly some positives we can take away from tonight's game, and certainly some things that Brad Stevens will have to work with his team on if they want to continue to win games, and especially win games at the pace that is anticipated for this 2017 season, Nick Gelso.
The pace, my man. Oh, my God. Patrick, it was like Tommy Heinsohn was in heaven in that first half.
Yeah, I mean, for as long as you and I have been watching Celtics games, Tommy Heinsohn has been saying, these guys got to run, they got to run, they got to run. Didn't make a difference if it was Kevin Gamble running, a la Abdelnaby running, or now Jaylen Brown running. He's been preaching it for as long as I can remember. And this team certainly has the horses to play the running game, and it looked good at times tonight. But again, you know, this is opening night. Emotions were certainly high in the building. I don't want to read too much into what we saw specifically to close out the game, the final 7 or 8 minutes of the game. It was disturbing. It was troubling. Pick your poison. Pick your word here. But I would like to at least start out on the positive. You're right. They are a super athletic team. This is right Tommy Heinsohn's wheelhouse. We saw great things from the players that we expected to see great things from, and we saw some surprises. Gerald Green offensively comes in and gives us a boost. Terry Rozier continues to play the way that he did through the exhibition season. And, of course, in the second half, especially Isaiah Thomas doing what Isaiah Thomas does, and that's take over offensively.
Yeah, I mean, how about Gerald Green all of a sudden becomes somewhat of a playmaker, right? Avery Bradley, he's bulked up. He's moving with the ball. He's finally able to dribble, right?
Yep.
You got Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas, who instantaneously have tremendous chemistry. They look like they've been playing together for a decade. And the team is clicking on all cylinders. Now, first half, and we'll talk about the second or the fourth quarter collapse in a moment, but first half, we could complain about the defense a little bit, Pat, but you know what? It was opening night. Adrenaline's pumping. Every year, opening night is a high-scoring affair. The defense doesn't really concern me in that first half. What concerns me more is the offensive collapse all previous seasons, last season, in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly, and it did remind us of previous seasons. Hopefully, again, it's opening night jitters. This team still has only played one regular season game together. You hope that the Celtics will continue the trend. You know, last year, the third or fourth best defensive team in the league, the NBA insiders, NBA experts picking the Celtics to be the best defensive team in the NBA this season. They certainly didn't show it tonight, specifically in that fourth quarter. Of course, you guys are all listening to the Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com, and our opening segment is powered by our friends at Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. You'll look like how the players are going to look in about a half hour when they're leaving the Garden to go get on a plane and go to Chicago. But you guys want to use our promotional code GARDEN, G-A-R-D-E-N. It's going to save you guys 50%. You guys can get a custom, handmade, handcrafted Indochino suit for just $389. I want you all to do the same thing that Nick did, that I did, that Jared did, and that's head on over to their Boston showroom. It's right on Newbury Street, so it's super convenient. There are no excuses. Newbury Street is accessible to all. You go in there, you get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as us and as sharp as the Boston Celtics. We visited the showroom. It was an amazing, amazing experience. They fit you. They don't fat shame you. They take good care of you. Go to Indochino.com. Use that promotional code GARDEN.
Exactly. Patrick, if only they could see us right now.
Absolutely. That's why we're on the radio. That's why TV never quite worked out for us. That promotional code GARDEN is so important. It's going to save 15% off an already great suit. Just head on over there. Go to Newbury Street. Go to Indochino.com. You cannot go wrong. The Celtics win tonight 122-117. The home opener, the season opener at the Garden. I want to be happy. I would like to celebrate this victory with you guys on our phone lines at 347-215-7771. But much like the Red Sox, when they clinched the American League East and they had to throw that sort of pseudo celebration in the Yankees locker room after losing, I don't feel right leaving tonight as happy as I should.
Yeah, the fourth quarter will do that, my friend. That this fourth quarter was nightmares from last season. I'm thinking all through the game again, you know, sitting back on the defense saying that will come. It's opening night. That will come. And then I'm thinking to myself, at least the offense is clicking, because my God, they were spreading the floor. It looked perfect. And then it was like a flashback, man. Opening night, though. Opening night.
Let's look at the positive right now. The last time we saw Jay Crowder in games that mattered, he was playing on one leg. And it was struggling because he played on one leg for about 35, 40 days. And we sort of got used to the Jay Crowder that couldn't shoot, that couldn't cut defensively. He was no longer that bulldog, that workhorse that we've all come to know. Tonight, he goes out there, scores 21 points of 9 of 15 shooting, 3 for 8 from 3, looking like the Jay Crowder the Celtics will need throughout the course of this regular season to achieve these lofty goals. Al Horford with a plus 13, that's great to see, but sort of disappointing offensively with only 11 points. Avery Bradley, another guy coming off injury, right back to where he began last year, 17 points, 7 for 15 from the field, 3 for 4 from three-point range. These are the guys that the Celtics are going to depend on. But what surprised me most, Nick, and what I really want to hear from the callers on at 342-15-7771, we've talked at nauseam about the depth on this basketball team. And with all of that depth, despite all that depth, Jaylen Brown, the 19-year-old rookie, was the first,
first
one off the bench.
First guy off the bench. He totally almost destroyed two Nets players while attempting a dunk. He hits his first shot. The guy's got guts. There's no doubt about it. You talk about depth, Patrick. I'm going to throw this to Jared. But before I do, I want to throw it back at you. Missing Marcus Smart tonight and Kelly Olynyk, that definitely affects the depth chart.
It does affect the depth chart, but I do, you know, I do look at a guy like Terry Rozier, who had 5 points tonight, 27 minutes. I expect more from Terry Rozier. The Celtics are going to need more from Terry Rozier, and you know, Marcus Smart he's Jared's guy, so we'll give it to Jared when it comes to Marcus. But I will say this: the Celtics have certainly sort of under the radar changed their tune on this Marcus Smart injury. Up until today or yesterday, the Celtics brass, their management, were all saying the same thing. He could play on opening night. And if you listen to Abby Chin tonight, you watch the broadcast, now Mike is saying another week, could be longer. So typical Danny Ainge, typical Celtics. We all remember 2009 in the playoffs. It was always the next game that Kevin Garnett was coming back. Really, I have no idea what the timetable is on Marcus, and I thought I felt pretty good about it up until I heard Mike Gorman tell us it'll be another week, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And Jared, I know you want to chime in, but we are having a bit of a difficulty trying to sync up the studios here, so we'll try Jared again in a few minutes. Of course, the Celtics win tonight. It is the Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. It's all brought to you by our friends at Indochino. Final score tonight, 122-117. Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Gelso. We've got Jared Scalley behind the glass. Your phone call, 347-215-7771. Things don't get any easier for the Celtics. As a matter of fact, they won't get much easier for the remainder of the season because Brooklyn is expected to be historically bad. But the Celtics hit the road immediately, and they go to Chicago for a game that I've been looking forward to. I can't make sense of this Chicago Bulls team. I can't make sense of the offseason that they put together. Not sure of the direction that team is trying to go in. It's certainly not a direction for the future. If everything breaks the right way, they could be a very good team in the short term in the Eastern Conference. But it's always fun to see Rajon Rondo, a motivated Rajon Rondo, and I expect to see a motivated Rondo tomorrow night. Celtics, it's the Bulls, and that makes it for a fun game anyways. But with the added element of Rondo, of Dwayne Wade, it's just going to be so much fun. But I'm not sure this Celtics team, after watching them collapse in the game tonight, is ready for the challenge. I'm not sure what to expect. Everybody came into this season with such high expectations. And to have the letdown that the Celtics had in the fourth quarter tonight is it's troubling for me. And maybe I'm overdoing it here, and maybe I'm just overreacting, which would be typical for me, by the way. I do tend to overreact to just about everything related to the Celtics. But again, this is a horrible Nets team. They don't have any real leadership on that team. Their best player is a center that's position is being sort of it's gone by the wayside in the NBA. Jeremy Lin's a nice player, but they let guys like Bogdanovich beat them tonight. While he's a nice player, and he certainly would be a welcome addition to the Celtics team as far as depth goes, and a specialty player that can shoot the three, the Celtics had full control of this game. The crowd was into it in the fourth quarter. Isaiah Thomas had taken over late in the third. This was the Celtics game to not only win, but to thrash their opponent. It was there for the taking, and they took their foot off the gas, which is a troubling trend that this Celtics team sort of established 2 years ago with their inability to finish games in the fourth quarter. And that ugliness came through tonight in the fourth quarter. Hopefully it's just a blip on the radar. Hopefully it's not something we look back to as a point in the season where, you know, we sort of saw a warning sign, so to speak. I don't think it was. As the longer I talk here, the more I talk myself out of the way that I'm feeling. But it is an emotional night at the Garden. Opening night is always a good time. Legends are in the house. Wahlbergs are in the house. When you have the combination of legends and Wahlbergs doing their thing, God only knows what's going to happen. 347-215-7771. 347-215-7771. It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com, ESPN Radio and ESPN NH Radio. .com. Our first segment, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Indochino. Check them out on Newbury Street in Boston. Head on over to Indochino.com. We're talking about top quality, handmade, handcrafted, tailored, right for you suits that normally cost $700-$900. We're talking about $389. Use the promo code GARDEN, whether you go online, whether you go into the store. The promo code is GARDEN to save your 15%. Tell them your friends from CLNS Radio sent you and use your promo code that you heard from me, Patrick Gilroy, Garden, G-A-R-D-E-N. I can see the calls really lining up on the phone lines. Continue to pound that call line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. I promise you, we will get back to all of you on tonight's program. And Nick, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about the Celtics win 122-117, and we started the show, you and I, talking about some of the bright spots that we saw. Other than right. blaming it on what we've seen in years past and the Celtics' inability to finish, what do you sort of pinpoint as far as this fourth quarter collapse, allowing a team as sorry as the Brooklyn Nets are to make the sort of comeback, to allow them to have the belief that they could beat the Celtics in the Garden? Is that something that you chalk up to an isolated incident, it's opening night, or is that a warning sign for you?
Well, it's a warning sign, but it's a warning sign more towards the second unit because, yes, it's opening night. Yes, you factor that in. There was a big lead. They let their guard down a bit, but Brad Stevens went to the second unit, and when he went to the second unit, that's when the collapse started. Then he has to reinsert the starters, dry off the bench, and I think – at that point, it had already started to unfold.
You know, you're right about that, but Brad Stevens did, you know, reinsert the starters, and you would think that those starters in the fourth quarter should have been able to at least hold serve and get that lead back to where it was. Maybe the cat was out of the bag at that point in the game.
Yeah, it started unrolling, and they're coming in cold. It's starting to unroll. The Nets are on a run, and let's face it, I said it on the pregame show tonight that the Nets are better than we're giving them credit for.
You think so. You look at that Nets team and you think that they are not the sorry team that the NBA is sort of picked to be this year?
I don't think they're going to be good by any means. I think we need them to be a bottom three team, but I think they're going to be better than that, buddy. I do.
See, and I'm not sure. You look at that team, and I will give them credit for one thing. Kenny Atkinson has got this team motivated. They certainly played hard. Even when they were down by 20, they continued to play hard. They took credit for that. This is sort of a learning situation for the Celtics as well. They need to learn how to close these games out, be it at home or on the road, be it against great teams like the Golden State Warriors or terrible teams like the Brooklyn Nets. Look, if the Celtics are to be this team that everybody expects them to be and win somewhere between 52 and 55 games, some national guys have them winning 60, they have to be a dominant home team. So if nothing else, the Celtics win their first game of the season and they win it at home. The Celtics finished last year 19-3 in their final 22 games at the Garden. That's how they got to 48 wins. That's how they got the national respect that they earned last year. You have to be a great home team to be a great NBA team. So hopefully tonight is a bit of a lesson learned for the Celtics, and they're able to grow from it, and we'll see a better version of the Celtics start to close these games out as the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months.
Yeah, I think you're going to use tonight as a, I don't say a measuring stick, but I just want them to use this as a realize that they need to finish games, and that's going to be big. Obviously, you guys know I'm big on Marcus Smart, and you're going to miss you're missing Marcus Smart right now and Kelly Olynyk. But that being said, this game should not have gotten that close at the end, Patrick. And I think moving forward, they have to use this to, and Brad's going to use this as a teaching moment, as guys, figure this out. Like, guys, can't happen. Yeah, the Nets might not be the worst team in the league, Nick, but I also think that they're going to be pretty close to it, and that should not be happening to a game like this.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you got to give some opening night credence to it, but at the same time, Jared, I got to agree with you, man. Let's go to the Movement Watchers call line. What do you say? We got Alan from Titletown Apparel, and he was at the game. Let's go right to him. Alan, you're live on the air with Jared Scally, Patrick Gilroy, Nick Chilso, ESPN New Hampshire, and CLNS Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How we doing?
What's going on?
You tell us, man. You were there. What happened?
Well, I mean, obviously the second team where we think that we have some good depth and we're going to be able to have our bench outplay other teams' benches, it wasn't the case tonight. The second team was just straight flat, couldn't score, couldn't defend. They weren't rebounding well. They weren't contesting any three-point shots. And really that's where they were kind of killing us with. Bogdanovich was hitting threes. I think Brook Lopez hit some threes, and we just weren't contesting. And the starters, I think, all played pretty well. They were well-balanced. Crowder played well. Isaiah had a quiet 25, I think, but he played well. Bradley, you know, was consistent. Horford, I think, asserted himself a little bit more. But when he did have his opportunity shots and drives, I think he made the most of it. And once again, I think Amir, he kind of did what he does. He brought the energy. He kept a lot of balls alive on the offensive end, a couple offensive rebounds. I think he had a couple baskets that were nice that were just bonuses if he can score from us. But other than that, I think besides the fourth quarter, I mean, they played really well. I mean, they were shooting good. They were taking care of the ball. I think Rozier played a pretty good point guard, played pretty well at the point tonight. And it was nice to see Jaylen Brown get some pretty solid, meaningful minutes in the game. I just hope that those minutes continue when Smart comes back. I don't know if he's the one that's going to take a little bit of a hit for playing time when Smart comes back, or if it's going to be Rozier's minutes. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think one thing Brad Stevens has proved is that he's going to go with what's working, right? I don't think it's a matter of – it's not necessarily a matter of, oh, Marcus Smart has earned this. Frankly, in my mind, I know Jared Scally's going to jump all over me. Marcus Smart hasn't earned much except for a lot of injuries.
right. Well, you know, I tell you, this is something we talked about on the pregame show tonight, because the subject of Evan Turner continues to sort of come up no matter where you have the discussion. And it's clear that the Celtics don't have one guy to fill Evan Turner's shoes. But one thing that we've come to expect from Brad Stevens is that this guy is going to play matchups. And from game to game, you're going to have one game where, you know, Amir Johnson goes for 30 minutes. And the next game, he's going to go for six. And you're going to say to yourself, oh, how is this possible? He's a rotation player. How are his minutes so up and down? But if you look throughout the course of the last 3 years, this is what Brad Stevens does. And depending on matchup, you'll have nights where Terry Rozier has a good matchup, so he gets those Evan Turner quote-unquote minutes. Another night it might be Jeff Green. Another night it'll be Marcus Smart. So you're right, Nick. So much of this is dependent on matchup and hands for that matter, because nobody has really jumped through and grabbed that secondary role by the throat. And until somebody does, Brad's going to let these guys earn it.
I think so. And Jaylen Brown, man, you want to talk about guts. The other thing I wanted to talk about with Allen was there at the Garden. I think it was a complete continuation of the playoffs last year. That crowd was electric. And there's no doubt expectations are high. And we talked about that, Pat, on the pregame show. And that crowd at TD Garden tonight was raucous.
Yeah, they were loud. I mean, except for that fourth quarter, it was the air was totally deflated. It was like biting your nails. It was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, what's going on right now?
Man,
it was
easy.
But I mean, they had the starters back in, and at that point, it's like they've been sitting for, you know, like 20 minutes, like of, you know, real time. And I mean, you got to probably think they're stiffened up. They kind of like,
well, that's what I said,
weren't
right?
expecting to go back in. So it's kind of hard to throw them back into the fire with like 2 minutes left. While the other team's hot, they got all the momentum. They got to put them in to kind of, you know, stop bleeding. It was tough, but, you know, they missed a couple threes down the stretch, and we kind of got bailed out. But I'll let you guys go. But, hey, guys, if you haven't checked out the new Season 3 Views from the 617 Collection,
man,
is now live on the website. We got the new Air Jaylen t-shirt in gray and white, and we have a new City Unlocked t-shirt with, I'm going to call it, our best five. It's a small ball lineup. It has Avery Bradley, IT, Crowder, Smart, and Horford. It's a great tee, good detail. And then also we have our new Jay's shirt, the JC99.
Gotta love it.
Looks really good. And we have some new JC99 sandals on the site, little slides. They're awesome. Check them out.
Is he wearing them? He's your boy. Is he wearing them?
It's 40 degrees out. It's cold. But there
he's
was
your
one
boy, man. He could wear them in the gym. He could wear them in Waltham. Come on. You got to get a picture of the man in the sandals. But
he's got a pair. He's got a pair. I didn't wear mine tonight. It was too cold. But Jay and his family all have pairs. And they will be posting them, I'm sure, on IG or Snapchat, whatever.
Patrick Gilroy, we're the only guys in Boston without a pair.
I don't have a pair. It's fine.
Skelly, do you have a pair?
Skelly, do you have a pair?
TitletownApparel.com. Allen, man, I'll see you in Boston in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, man. I'll be looking forward to it. And continue
looking
to be up, guys.
There's Allen from Titletown. I'm actually in the process. I'm ordering an Isaiah Thomas shirt. I very rarely wear sort of sports jerseys at this stage in my life, but he's got a couple that I had to have. So,
well, I got to tell you, he's like our preferred vendor or t-shirt guy. You know, merch apparel guy. He really is. I mean, the stuff that he posts, it's original. Jay Crowder loves his stuff.
Does he really? Like, you weren't kidding. Jay Crowder legitimately like loves and wears. That's awesome.
Yes. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on, Allen.
Yeah.
You're still on. You can give us a testimonial.
Just for those who don't really think that Jay loves it, he bought $1,800 worth of stuff last night from us.
Really? That's
yeah.
amazing.
$1,800.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
20
true.
Pairs of slides, 40 shirts, and I met his mom tonight. She grabbed the shirt, and she's going to talk to me tomorrow on the phone about an upcoming project they want us to make shirts for. So we're in the family.
That's yeah, man.
Look at
it's
that.
True. It's true. It's all right, Allen. There he goes.
All right,
goes.
Guys,
Allen, Take it easy.
Not for nothing, but that Rondo deal was lucrative for our good friend Alan from Titletown.
It was lucrative for everybody except the Mavs.
It's the Celtics post-game show. Except the Mavs, absolutely. It's the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. When we come back, your phone calls, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celticsbeat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics newsfeed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the newsfeed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNS Radio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
Wasn't that close. It wasn't that close. That's all I can say. The Celtics had full control of this game. They let that control slip away. I do want to get to a Movement Watches call line here. The calls are certainly filling up at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Those same phone lines are brought to you by our good friends at Movement Watches. We all know that department store watches cost $400, $500, $600, but our good friends over at Movement Watches have done a brilliant thing. They've taken the middleman out, and they're passing that savings on directly to you guys, the fans of the Boston Celtics. I want you guys to head on over to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. It's going to save you guys 15% off that first order. It's going to give you free shipping. These watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly for guys like us, they're affordable, starting at just $95 plus your 15% off by using the slash Celticsbeat and free shipping. It's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. I'm telling you guys, you cannot go wrong. Celtics win tonight 122-117 in their home opener, their season opener at the Garden. Now it's time to go to your phone calls. Let's go to Miley in Ohio. You're up first on the Celtics postgame show. Miley, what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I was watching the game, and closer to the end, I was kind of worried because I thought they was going to get beat from the way they were playing.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't pretty, specifically the final 7 or 8 minutes of that game, Miley. But are you saying that you were losing faith in this team, that all of the experts have got pegged to win 52, 53, 55 games?
No, I'm not losing faith in that. I was just worried about how our bench was playing, because our starters came out and then our bench just wasn't playing good defense.
You're right. The bench certainly was disappointing tonight. You look at that bench and you say, okay, two mainstays of that bench, probably their true sixth man in Marcus Smart. It wasn't there. He's still a week or two away, according to Mike Gorman. I'm going to estimate that Kelly Olynyk is still 3 to 4 weeks away. And even if he gets back closer, even if he comes back sooner than that, let's say it's 2 weeks away, we all know he's been out for such an extended period of time. It's going to take Kelly a good additional 3 to 4 weeks to work his way into game shape, to get his shot where the Celtics need it for him to be effective. I don't anticipate Kelly Olynyk being a meaningful member of this team until at minimum December 1st.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Scally, I know that you're kind of on the flip side of Kale. You're not a believer.
We'll see. Obviously, I want to get Kelly back healthy, see what he can do. But I'm not a believer. I got to see it a little more this year now with a real rotation and just kind of a real starting rotation, a real center, a real all-star on this team. I want to see him play with like a good team rather than an okay team.
Now, you just sort of gave a backhanded dig to Isaiah Thomas, and you and I have done this quite a bit.
I do it all the time, Patrick.
All the time.
I do it all the time.
23 points, 9 assists, single-handedly got the Celtics into their double-digit commanding lead. What else do you want to see from this guy before you are a believer that he is one of the elite, not just point guards, elite players in the NBA?
I told you this on the pregame show here on ESPN the other day. It was the fact that he needs to do it in the playoffs. In the playoffs, he has issues getting calls because they don't make calls for him. He makes a living off getting three-point plays. He makes a living off getting calls because he's a little man. You don't get that in the playoffs. So now I want to see it all the time in the playoffs. I want to see him take over a game even more in the playoffs. I know he has, but now I want to legitimately make him make a run with this team. I don't think that he – and I know I've said this to you, Patrick. I don't think he is a member of your quote-unquote big three on a championship team.
And, you know, the longer he continues to play as well as he played tonight, as well as he played last season, I think that you are becoming more and more in the minority. And I know that this guy is such a divisive player. People want to embrace him. People want to believe that he could be a true member of the next great Celtics team, the team that wins their 18th championship. And, you know, we started to get to this last week, and it's going to be something that we have to hammer home throughout the season here on the CLNS Celtics postgame show and other broadcasts throughout the network. Yes, Isaiah Thomas quite possibly right now represents the single biggest value in the NBA with his contract. It is a descending contract, meaning next year he makes less money than he did this year, and the following year he'll make less money than he does next year. It's unheard of, the contract this guy has. But we've all known Isaiah Thomas went public this summer and expects a major raise. Point being, he wants to be a max contract guy. He's earned it. He deserves it. Here in line the problem for Celtics, 2 years left on this kid's deal. we heard Wick Grousbeck on our program last week, Jared, say that, you know, he may or may not be willing to be a taxpayer for this current team. He wants to play it out and see how things go. The Celtics will have to make a decision on whether they are going to try and extend this guy and give him max dollars at some point in the next 12 to 14 months. Otherwise, he becomes a lame duck player, a player that Danny Ainge will have to contemplate trading in his final season at risk of losing him for nothing. So while, yes, the Celtics did go and they did acquire an all-star in Al Horford and they to pair with our all-star that they already have in Isaiah Thomas, it doesn't mean that these two are here together for the next 4 years and the length of Horford's contract. The Celtics have got major decisions to make, and they need to make those decisions pretty damn soon, because let's not forget, next year, going into the offseason, the Celtics will have the ability to sign one more max-level free agent. If they strike out, they'll have to spend that money to re-sign Isaiah Thomas, and then you get into having his bird rights. Once you spend that money proactively on Isaiah, you can't go spend it elsewhere. They need to spend it on an external free agent and then sign Isaiah using his bird rights and go over the cap. If they don't time this thing out perfectly, they're at risk of losing Isaiah Thomas in just 2 years.
Back up the Brink's truck.
Yeah, well, I'm going there because there aren't many players in Boston that can get away with talking about backing up Brink's trucks and not get bashed in the media or fan base. And that's how much Isaiah, I think, is loved by the city. And he's been great for the city. But I hear everything you're saying, Patrick, I'm not totally convinced that Isaiah Thomas is going to be on this team at the end of this season. The way Rich Gotham talked on ESPN New Hampshire, the way he talked on CLNS Celtics beat, this team, and the way Wick has been talking on both channels, this team, they think this is a finals contending team right now. We all know it's not in its current state, current structure. It's certainly not. So there's got to be moves made. Obvious comments out of the locker room, Patrick. Al Horford, this comes from Jared Weiss, CLNS Radio locker room reporter at Jared Weiss NBA. A must follow. Al Horford states the obvious, but way too early in the season to be saying it. Game one, this is a good learning experience for our group. We have to play the right way for 48 minutes. No kidding. No kidding, Al.
Look,
welcome to Boston.
I was hoping
like
personally.
John Farrell over there. Jeez.
You know what? He's been trained well. I was hoping personally for him to have a longer night than he had tonight. I was impressed with his play in the first quarter. As the game went on, his offensive impact certainly declined. And look, he's not a guy whose numbers are going to jump off the page. He's not 30-12 guy that's going to say, oh, wow, look at him. And he's not the emotional leader that Kevin Garnett was. So it's easy to lose sight of the value that Al Horford brings game in and game out. He's a unifying figure. He's an energy guy. He's somebody that leads by example. But I would like to see him consistently give this team somewhere between 16-20 and 7-9 a night. And I don't think that's asking too much for your $113 man.
Patrick, can he get pissed off? Can Al Horford get pissed off enough to, like, when down the road, if he needs to, shrug off the media? We've seen it in this town. A la David Price, to go back to a recent person that we obviously despise for the media situation, John Farrell in the Red Sox, that sort of thing. Can he be a guy who shows how pissed off he is around the media?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I want him to be.
I want him to be as well, and that's what this town loves, and that's a reason why they've really embraced Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is a guy that sort of wears his emotions on his sleeve. That's why this town has embraced Marcus Smart. Marcus's numbers don't jump off the page, but he's somebody, again, wears that emotion on his sleeve. And this town loves guys like that. Al Horford, somebody that he's not going to be that guy. And at 10 years into his NBA career, four-time All-Star, he's not going to change. He is what he is. He's somebody that he's going to be the first one in the locker room, the first one training every day, the first one at the gym. He's going to lead quietly by example. Is that enough to get this team to sort of rally around him a la Kevin Garnett? I don't know. It's a different group of guys. The only guy that played with Kevin Garnett that's on this roster is Avery Bradley. It's an entirely different team. So the comparison that we're hearing so much, you know, his numbers are similar to KG's, his impact should be similar to KG. I don't know if I buy that, because what Kevin Garnett brought was this emotional leadership that is just unprecedented. Kevin Garnett was a highly skilled basketball player. He's a top 20 player all time, maybe a top 15 player all time. And despite the fact that the statistics are nearly identical at this point, 15 and 8, 16 and 9, those type of numbers to what Kevin Garnett gave us here. It's two different guys. The comparison really needs to stop. It's funny because that comparison is coming from Celtics leadership. It was Danny Ainge that threw it out there during the green and white game. Since then, it's been Gotham.
It's not fair.
You got to let this guy be his own guy.
Yeah. That's it, man.
You know, Al Horford's got to be his own guy. And if he's going to work here in Boston and fans are going to embrace him, they've got to embrace him for who he is. And that's Al Horford, a guy that's going to make some All-Star games here while he's in Boston, a guy that's going to have more good moments than bad, and hopefully a guy that will lead the Celtics beyond the first round of the playoffs. It is the Celtics postgame show right here. CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Thank you to our friends at ESPN New Hampshire, espnnhradio.com. I'll be back with you guys on ESPN New Hampshire for the Celtics pregame show next week. As far as CLNS goes, we're not done yet. We got more of your phone calls right here on the Movement Watches guest line. We'll be right back.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
This is Jared Weiss from The Garden Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report Celtics postgame show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, Indochino. .com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
CLNSradio.com, ESPN Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. Of course, CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. You can find us on Twitter at CLNS Radio, on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSfans. And of course, I implore all of you guys, download the free CLNS mobile app. It's available for iOS and Android. Just simply search CLNS Radio in your app marketplace or Android, CLNS Radio, clns.com/android and iOS, clnsradio/iOS free. And that, my friends, is really the best way to listen to everything that CLNS Radio has got to offer, whether it's the post-game show, of course, with me tonight, Jared Scaly behind the glass, our founder, CEO, owner, and co-host Nick Gelso joining me tonight. That's a lot of titles there. I was wow. reading the final read you've got for us tonight when we go to sign off, and it says for the network founder Nick Gelso and my co-host Nick Gelso. So I can say your name twice. It's got two spots for your name tonight, which means you're twice as important.
We need to clarify this.
Nick, you really don't care about the rest of us, do you?
I did not write these reads. Please,
you're the founder. Everything comes back to you, right?
Well, oh my God! The last time I hosted, I forget who I was with. Oh, Jared Weiss. I read that read and I said, "For the founder, Nick Gelso, and my co-host, Nick Gelso." I'm like, "Wait a minute! I am
Nick Gelso."
Yeah. Oh man, that's too much. It's too much. How about just a dork in his mother's basement talking about the Celtics?
There's nothing wrong with that. We embrace
those
dorks because we're
that's a lie.
As sports talk radio hosts, we rely on those dorks to be loyal listeners to our program. It's the Celtics postgame show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Patrick Gilroy, Nick Gelso, Jared Scaly, behind the glass. Your phone calls welcome at the Movement Watches phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. The Celtics win at home tonight, 122-117 over the lowly Brooklyn Nets in a game that should not have been as close, a game where Al Horford in his first official game as the Celtics has a disappointing 11-point output. Tonight, I expected more from Al, and in a game where the Celtics were really missing their true sixth man, and that's Marcus Smart. Marcus came out before the game. He addressed the fans, addressed the crowd, looked like he was moving pretty freely on that ankle. But, Nick, the Celtics are depending on a guy that has been undependable, and that makes me worry.
Well, and here's my and I've said this on multiple outlets. Here's my concern about Marcus. I know the city is in love with Marcus. I know the media is in love with Marcus, and I think Marcus has tremendous potential. But we've not seen that come to fruition yet. And we've only seen him kind of regress. Like, look at last season's shooting. I mean, I hear people out there on the web right now, incredible people, saying they'd be happy if Marcus could get to 28 to 32% behind the three-point line. I mean, this is a guy that was a, what, number five, number six pick in the NBA draft. He is losing value by the year. I put out on social media a cry to Danny Ainge to trade Marcus Smart while the rest of the league is still in love with him as much as our media and our fan base is, because I don't see it happening. I do not see it happening, not to the amount that fans and media have pumped him up to become. I'll tell you what,
our very own Jared Weiss posted a video on Facebook, on Twitter, two, three weeks ago, highlighting, Marcus's new shooting stroke and, who is this guy? Ray Allen? There's been a lot of that this offseason.
Right.
And that's
just a thing of beauty, guys. Come on.
It leads to the hype, but I'm not a believer in Marcus either. And Jared will tell you, we went through an exhausting 6-month season last year where I spent 80% of the shows at least imploring the Celtics to trade Marcus once per show. And it drove Jared crazy. But it was for that very reason, Nick, that you just gave. It's not so much that I don't like the guy or like the player.
Right.
I think he brings a lot of value. And if he was the 27th pick in the draft, I would love him. But he was the 6th pick in the draft, and that comes with certain expectations. It also comes with a certain amount of trade value and value around the league. The longer
I feel that
he's in the league and doesn't live up to those expectations, the further he's exposed and the less you're going to net for him in return. I would make the argument that right now you'd get less for him than you would 12 months ago, and I don't expect that trend to change.
I agree. And one of the quandaries I think that Ainge and Stevens have is you really can't play it. Where do you match up Marcus? Do you put him in with Isaiah? Is he in with Avery Bradley? Okay, he could be in with Avery Bradley. They're a defensive force then. But I think Marcus Smart almost has to play the point guard to excel. And at that point, who are you trading? Isaiah Thomas or an injury prone unknown in Marcus Smart? We don't know where his talent lies.
And that's a great point. You know, and it's a shame because he's a guy that, you know, he's literally played in the post. For a 6'3" point guard, that's pretty rare. But you're right.
Yeah.
He's not good enough at the catch and shoot to play the two guard. The two guard historically is dependent upon to score. You don't need to score at historic paces. You just need to
Michael
be
Jordan.
Respectable
Jordan.
Out there. Exactly. Avery Bradley is a 15-point-a-game guy. It's what he is. It's what he always will be. He's
you
not
have to guard him.
Exactly. He needs to honor him when he's out there and he's got the ball. He's a great catch and shoot guy. He can also create for himself off the dribble. I don't see Marcus Smart ever having the ability to catch and shoot comfortably. I'm really curious to hear what the phone callers have to think about this because, look, Marcus is a guy that some people love, some people hate. He's a divisive figure right now on the Boston Celtics, a team that throughout most of camp, it's been all about team unity and you know, kumbaya, everything's perfect. They're going to win 60 games, contend for the NBA Finals,
Let's
and it's all perfect.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's exactly. But it's not all perfect. You know, there are going to be some hiccups along the way here.
Sure.
And I would venture to guess, knowing Danny Ainge, the team that we saw here on October 26th, the opening night, is not the same team that we expect to roll into the playoffs come sometime this April. Let's go right back to the Movement Watches call lines right here at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It's Hector. He's waiting a while. He's in Providence. You're up next, Hector, right here on the Celtics post-game show. What's on your mind, Hector?
Matt Hatter.
Yeah, Nick Gelso and I go way back a little bit.
The
so
Matt Hatter.
Good to hear from him.
Good to hear
yeah.
from you, buddy.
Yeah.
Patrick Gilroy, for an entire season, Hector called in, and his fire alarm in his house needed a battery change. And in the background, you'd hear beep 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 beep. It was right as the Celtics were on the decline. It was like the bomb going off in his apartment. I'm glad you got battery change, Hector.
Well, actually, I'm not at home right now. I'm outside as I just got off the bus. I just got off of work tonight. So I'm walking home right now. Considering the last time I called was over the summer, and I had
Hey Hector, hold on. Hector, I'm going to put you on hold. I want to hear what you have to say. My producer's yelling at me behind the glass, so I'm going to throw you on hold so you can have your time here on the Celtics postgame show. We got to take a break right here. 347-215-7771. 347-215-7771. It is the Celtics postgame show. Patrick Gill, Jared Skelly, Nick Gelso. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
It is the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com, Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Gelso, Jared Skelly behind the glass, the Boston Celtics winners at home tonight in their season opener over the Brooklyn Nets 122-117. And of course, today's show is brought to you by A Movement Watches, MVMTWatches.com/Celtics Beat. Going to get you guys 15% off your first order with free shipping, as well as Audible. Don't forget about Audible. Audible's pretty great. I'm a runner. I love Audible. You guys want to go to audiblepodcast.com/try now for your free 30-day trial of these great, great audiobooks. It's incredible. They've got every genre, everything you could ever want is available there on Audible. And as a runner myself and somebody that cannot listen to any more horribly new produced music because it's just so terrible these days, I rely on Audible. And it makes me sound smarter than I am. It makes me sound like one of these book guys, an educated reader that reads hours on end every night. It's not true. I just run for 60 minutes every day, and Audible makes me look smart. It's a really, really great thing to have on your phone. So, look, Audible, Movement Watches, Indochino, we wouldn't be here without these guys. So they support us. We ask you guys to support them right here on the Celtics Post Game Show. The number to join us here, 347-215-7771. I want to bring Hector in Providence back to the program. Hector, thanks for holding on through the
Yeah, no problem, guys. Hopefully the issue is resolved and everything. But as I was saying before the break, when I called over this summer, I called the Careless Whispers, I think, I really, really liked where the Celtics' direction was going, especially getting Al Horford. You know, and considering I heard some of the game tonight on the radio because of work, you know, obviously we would expect a lot more from Al Horford tonight and all. But, you know, I guess overall it just goes to show that this team is a work in progress somewhat, especially, you know, with Marcus and Kelly still injured and everything. But to me, Cedric Maxwell said something on the radio broadcast that I thought was interesting. When you have these expectations like the Celtics have this season, you know, 50-plus wins and, you know, probably an Eastern Conference Finals opportunity at stake, sometimes you believe you're that good. And the Celtics, I noticed, were up by like 20-something points in the fourth quarter and then basically choked it all away. So maybe they were believing a little too much of their own hype, but then fortunately were able to snap out of it and get the win at the very end. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Look, it's difficult to judge anything about tonight's game. You know, we tried here for an hour, and to get a read on this team after only one game is next to impossible. There were certainly some great bright spots tonight. The Celtics offense was clicking on all cylinders at times. Then there were times where it just didn't look right out there. But I think you're going to get the sort of up and down play for the first couple of weeks of the season. And I hate to say it, because one of the things that was sort of played up here in Boston throughout the course of the exhibition season was just how good and how smooth the transition has been, adding Al Horford and subtracting Jared Sullinger from the Celtics lineup. But it's not always going to be that smooth. The Celtics are implementing a new player that's going to play heavy minutes. It's just somebody new to get used to, a new teammate for guys that have been together for a couple of years. So you're going to get your ups and downs. But I was very encouraged. It wasn't the Celtics starters that blew that lead tonight. It certainly was the second unit. And if I know one thing about Brad Stevens, it's that this guy is great at making adjustments. There's probably nobody better in the NBA right now, short of Greg Popovich, at making adjustments. So I'm fully confident in Brad Stevens' ability to mix and match here based on opponent and to make the necessary adjustments to get the most out of his second unit, Nick. Now, we've got to know one thing about Brad Stevens. I'm fully confident in his ability. I know Nick is fully confident in his ability, and I know for sure Jared is fully confident in his ability. This guy has made a game based on making adjustments. So when you look at what the Celtics did tonight, there will be adjustments made to that second unit. Guys like Tyler Zeller played great tonight. Does that mean he earns more minutes going forward? Who knows? But it'll be based on matchup. And it'll be based on what this guy sees out there. How does he get the best out of his team?
It's so funny because I listened after I called into the pregame show. I listened to you and Hickman talking, and you mentioned Jared Sullinger a few times, and he's not even on my radar, man. I mean, I'm looking more at Evan Turner as the drop off, which is funny, you know, because who would have thunk it? Evan Turner is the guy we're all kind of talking about right now. But that's the one guy that's got to fill that place on the team. And I agree, Brad Stevens, he'll make adjustments. One night can't,
you know, we all – Celtics Nation likes to jump off the ledge after one loss, and obviously that can't be done, especially after opening night. I mean, tomorrow night the Celtics are in Chicago versus old friend Rajon Rondo, and I'm curious to what to expect out of the Bulls and the Celtics playing a back-to-back on national television. Jared, what are you looking at going into this game?
I mean, look, the Bulls are another one of these teams in the Eastern Conference. I find it very difficult to sit here late October and predict where this Eastern Conference is going to wind up, because there are so many teams with questions that need to be answered. This Bulls team, we've talked about them before, they're a team that could be very, very good. They could be scary good. They've got a great three-headed monster if things go right. But are you confident that a guy like Dwayne Wade at his advanced age will have a repeat from last season and play the majority of the games and stay healthy and be able to get to the basket the way he did last year? Or will he look like the old Dwayne Wade from the previous two seasons, where he looked like a guy who was certainly on the back nine of his career? Will Chicago get the best out of Rajon Rondo, the Celtics Rondo, the Rondo that led the league in assists last year? Or will it be Dallas Mavericks Rondo, who was just a terrible teammate and a guy that wasn't even allowed to be in the building during the playoffs? So a lot of questions to be answered in Chicago. Things could go very well. Things could go very poorly. And I tell Celtics fans this all the time. If the Celtics are still hoping for a Jimmy Butler to be available come trade deadline, just because the Bulls brought in Rajon Rondo, brought in Dwayne Wade, doesn't mean that Butler is sticking around. This thing could go horribly wrong very, very quickly.
Very fast.
In Chicago.
I mean, Rajon Rondo's a ticking time bomb, not to mention he needs perimeter shooters around him or slashers. At this point, first of all, neither Jimmy Butler nor Dwayne Wade are going to be camped out behind the three-point line knocking down threes. At this point in his career, Wade, with his knees, he's not going to be slashing. I don't know. I have heard a lot of people in the media, Jared Weiss included, saying this is Rajon Rondo's year to get back to the All-Star game. And I don't see it, guys. I see that being a complete nightmare in Chicago. Too many egos.
I don't know if I buy that. I think that he's enough around him to make a case for an All-Star game. Not going to be a bona fide All-Star by any means, but I think that he can make a case just because of what he has around him. He finally has someone to pass the ball to that will make him look good again.
You know, maybe. But you're depending on Dwayne Wade to be healthy.
Dwayne Wade, exactly.
If I were a Chicago Bull fan, I would not feel confident in Dwayne Wade's ability to stay healthy for two consecutive years. It hasn't happened in the last six. Why is it going to happen now?
Not to mention he doesn't have the range nor the ability to penetrate the way he did for him and Rondo to really be effective together. That's just my opinion.
But one thing I do know for sure, guys, is that tomorrow night we'll be right back here on the Celtics post-game show taking your phone calls about this very same Chicago Bulls. What's interesting here before we get out of here is that, look, the Celtics, we all know, played terrible in the fourth quarter tonight. They allowed Brooklyn to make a comeback they never should have made. The game got much closer than it ever should have been. But if you want to talk about having an idea of where the Celtics are at in their development and where they are in terms of their chemistry, we'll have a much better idea in about 8 days. Looking at the Celtics schedule right now, it is loaded with Eastern Conference playoff foes. The Celtics go to Chicago, they go to Charlotte, they've got a home game against Chicago, and they're on the road to Cleveland a week from tomorrow. You talk to me next Friday, and I will have a much better idea where this Celtics team is as we head into November.
I'm with you on that. I think it's a huge test. I think the Celtics have to come out. Last season, they couldn't even figure out their front court rotations until I think 6 weeks into the season. They were 7-7, I think, to start, if I remember correctly. The Celtics need to come out strong. They need to prove themselves and assert themselves early. They have a great schedule to do that with a lot of challenging opponents. Sometimes you want those challenging opponents in the beginning to create chemistry, because you have no other choice but to have that. And I think the Celtics to form chemistry. And I think the Celtics need that right now. So as my closing thoughts for tonight, fellas, look, they didn't play defense. The Celtics did not play defense right out of the gate. Their offense was clicking on all cylinders. The offense tanked off with the second unit. Defense was never established. The first unit came back in dry and fought and barely won this game. It's opening night. The Celtics are 1-0 in my book. It's as if the game didn't even happen. Let's see what they go out and do tomorrow night in the Windy City.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with them. I think that you look at this game, don't be too concerned. Like I said earlier, you're missing Marcus Smart. You're missing Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, this shouldn't have happened. But like Nick said, you're 1-0. You take it with a grain of salt. The offense played well. Defense will be better. And obviously when you get Marcus Smart back, that'll help defensively. So I'm curious to see what happens tomorrow night.
Well, today's show is always brought to you guys by MovementWatches.com. That is MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat for your 15% off your first purchase with free shipping as well. Today's show is also brought to you guys by Audible.com. You want to head on over to audiblepodcast.com/try now for your free 30-day trial of audiobook. The music was provided by Joshua Morse, and I want to thank all of today's callers and everybody who tuned in. For CLNS Radio, executive producer. That's right, executive Ooh. Producer. What a title. That title is good for Larry H. Russell's
How, why
ego.
Why didn't I get that title? I have all the other titles.
We're going to get to you soon enough in this read here, Nick. Our program director, Justin Poulin, the founder of the network and my co-host this evening, Nick Gelso, and of course, Jared Scaly behind the glass. I am Patrick Gilroy. I will see everybody back here tomorrow night around 10:30 when the Celtics are done with the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. It's me, it's Jared, and it's Josue Pavone tomorrow night. So I expect all of you guys to tune in and call the show. Until then, for Jared and Nick, I'm Patrick. Congratulations, Celtics, on your opening night victory. See y'all tomorrow.